Hello and good morning. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio 88.5 and 100.7 FM and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Polk and Marion Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We are illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley. I am your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator with the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. This lovely winter morning, we are in the KMUZ studio in downtown Salem. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Conservation Spotlight. Polk SWCD has a working partnership with the Natural Resources Department for the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde. And years ago, when I first started, I helped to organize an oak restoration tour at one of the tribe's properties in Polk County and a tour of the native plant nursery in Grand Ronde. And that was back in 2022 when I met Jeremy Oyua. The nursery is a special place. It's been fun getting to know Jeremy, who's a rock hounder, a snowboarder, and an old soul. And I enjoy going out to the nursery so much that I bring a group of friends, colleagues, and volunteers at least once a year to help with projects. And it feels like coming home and visiting old friends, that bonus sends you home with seeds or dried mugwort for tea. And I've loved seeing the nursery grow in terms of plants and people power. Jeremy now has Joseph working with him at the nursery, and I'm looking forward to getting to know him too. I've bribed both of them this morning with coffee away from the forest and nursery to join me in the studio to learn more about what conservation looks like in their world. So welcome to Conservation Spotlight, Jeremy and Joseph.
Thank you, Morgan, for having us out here today.
So enough of me talking. Let's jump right in and hear about all the good things you're doing. And we can start with your stories. How did you find your way into this work, and what inspired your path towards native plants and restoration?
Well, for me, I suppose it's a series of events since the beginning of being born. Where would you like me to start? I think for me, I was pretty lucky to have grown up in the Grand Ronde area as a kid, out in the countryside, surrounded by forest and woods. So I think just have always been curious about nature and have enjoyed being outside, and then also being blessed with family that were outdoor enthusiasts and like to go hiking and camping and spend time outdoors. And then kind of a series of different jobs I'd had throughout my life kind of all work together in some strange way to lead where I'm at today. So I suppose I've worked for the Natural Resources Department in Grand Ronde now almost, this May will be 20 years, I believe. So primarily wildland fire and silviculture. And so getting to spend a lot of time out in the forest and, you know, just always curious about what plants are growing around me and what everything is and can I eat that or not, or and things like that. And then when the opportunity came up within the department to start a new program working with plants, I was pretty excited to jump on in.
Cool. Thank you so much. What about you, Joseph? What's your story?
L'chaim, Joseph Nikeni, Nike Helamith, Kaba Tatis House, Kaba Shawash Ilahi. I just wanted to introduce myself in Chinook. Hello, my name is Joseph, and I work at Tatis House, the Flower House, the Grand Ronde Nursery. And, you know, looking at these questions, and really it kind of all boiled to, I wanted to work with Jeremy. I've known him since I was probably about 15. I'm a Grand Ronde tribal member, and working through the summer youth program at Natural Resources and having that blessed and grateful opportunity to work in so many programs at the tribe throughout my adult working life, whether that be wildland firefighting and getting to know Jeremy, the civic culture, and then branching out into the language program and cultural resources at Chichalu Museum. I think I really, you know, I was at a place where I kind of was telling people that, you know, that would be really awesome if Jay ever had an assistant open up at the nursery. And the more I think about it, just the different places I've been and things that I can bring to this job, I really appreciate how it's a good mix of labor and education and outreach and just thinking of all the different tools that we've picked up along the way. And just that at the nursery, I really appreciate that culture is tangible. Sometimes I think I can just get in my head a lot about culture and when I'm out there working with plants and knowing the names of them in the language, I can really feel that and physically, you know, take that home and learn with that. So I'm just really, I find inspiration in that through working at the nursery.
Thank you so much. A little bit more about the nursery itself and what are some of the main goals and how does it support the tribe's broader restoration and land stewardship efforts?
Well, the main goals of the native plant nursery really are to provide native plant materials for any and all tribal projects that we can. So a lot of that does involve growing plants that are for restoration, so going out to different restoration sites. A lot of them are traditional foods. So I would say creating access for the membership to these plants. A lot of these plants would naturally grow in a meadow or somewhere in the valley that's likely been converted to farmland or is private property. So I'd say a big part of the nursery's operation really is having these plants available to put in places that are accessible for folks to utilize, as well as supporting partners like yourselves, like the Polk County SWCD, that are also doing restoration projects. And then I kind of feel like maybe the more important or most important thing is just having the nursery and the plants in the community, even in the nursery beds. It makes those available for the community to come and just like learn or to like experience or have some time with those plants. And in that way, it's creating restoration in people like down the line, so that, you know, I'm not going to be around forever running the nursery. So more people in the community will be familiar with these things and like have a relationship with them. So I feel like that's kind of a different kind of restoration that we're involved with, at least as far as giving tours and education and having groups of people come out and help us out.
And you said a lot of the plant materials go towards restoration projects for the tribe's properties. To give us a little bit of perspective, do you know how many acres that comes to be?
That'd be a great question for my supervisor.
Okay. No problem.
I think the tribe has around 3,000 acres, maybe plus, of restoration properties, and it continues to grow. Yeah, Lawrence Schwabe and that team's always doing a great job finding more properties to bring in that from the ceded lands. And I guess I could kind of give an example of, it's maybe more of a partnership, but we've been collecting seed from camas seed from one of the tribal properties and tarweed seed from the restoration site at the Natural Resources Department in a partnership with Tualatin Fish and Wildlife Refuge. They have the Wapato Lake area there in Gaston that they've restored, and they have a property there that they've offered for the tribe to utilize so that they can have a space closer to Wapato Lake. And so we'll be transplanting these plants to that property so that there'll be more First Foods there.
When we were on the way here, Jeremy, we were talking about kind of like what an average day for me looks like. You know, some days I'll be out on a site visit or planting a new garden for the community or working on our newsletter, which I really enjoy, kind of the variety. I'm curious about you guys and what an average day looks like for you out at the nursery.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning too, because even being here on this podcast doesn't seem too outside of the realm of it's a very dynamic job, and just looking at what takes precedence for that day. I can think of, I think about 2 weeks ago, we're in order season and we're getting a lot of bulbs ready to go out to different restoration sites and partners, and we also have a camas patch in the community that we're building new apartments for the tribal membership. Mm-hmm. And some we had been meaning, it's been such a busy season, to go get those camas bulbs and hold them in the nursery till we can bring them back after the construction. Mm-hmm. And the other day we realized that we needed to go get those bulbs, and we were out in the in the midst of it all in the construction zone and talking with the workers there and helping them identify bulbs to kind of rescue them and we'll grow them in the nursery. And then after that, we were able to complete our order of bulbs to go out. And so just, yeah, it's very seasonal. I feel like this job really helps me kind of live in rhythm with that, of the seasons and, you know, different things for different times of the year, and kind of just learning to go with that.
Nice. How long have you been in your position now?
I think in April or maybe 2 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Yeah.
Long enough to see
A
couple of rounds of seasons.
Yeah, I feel like, the first year really hitting the ground running, and then now I'm like, oh, I can expect this coming up, or we'll be doing that next month. And so that's been really nice to see.
Cool. How about you, Jeremy?
Oh, I don't know if there is an average day, but we kind of hit the ground running every day and see what needs to be done a lot of the times. But it is, like Joseph said, it is very seasonal, where we kind of switch modes from about time you get really kind of tired of doing one thing. It's about time to switch up to do the next thing. So I feel like in winter time, we have winter annual weeds that we're constantly trying to pull and fight in the nursery. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do a lot of the planting of cuttings in the wintertime.
Yeah.
We'll go out and collect cuttings and then get them in the greenhouse. About time spring comes around, we kind of have a lot of tours and folks coming in just to take a look at the nursery as, you know, things are starting to flower and green up. So it's a little nicer time to visit. And then summertime is a lot of watering, and I always say weeding. The weeding never ends. Mm-hmm. But
it seems like a good year for weeds, right?
Yeah, every year. and then we do switch into a lot of seed collecting through midsummer, all the way into fall, and then that involves a lot of cleaning and separating seed and storing seed, and then we kind of move into October, and November is our root harvest season. So we're harvesting, digging up a lot of bulbs for clients and customers and putting orders together.
Yeah. And what species do you have growing out there?
Well, let's see. For kind of more on the culturally significant, well, they're all culturally significant because they're all native plants. But on the First Foods end, we're growing things like a couple species of camas. We're growing yampa, a native carrot, slenderleaf onion, a couple species of biscuit root, which is like a native celery. We're starting to grow wapato in some aquatic beds. Quite a few native shrubs. We're not really growing too many trees, but a little bit of valley pine. But primarily the roots, and then we also collect a lot of seed from everything as well.
Jeremy, thinking about the journey from seed to restoration, what does that look like, collecting the seeds, growing the plants, and seeing them return to the landscape?
Well, depends on the plant a little, but let's say for like camas, for example, we've been going out to a tribal property and collecting camas seed there, and then some of it we'll bring back and grow in the nursery, or it may go directly to another site. Mm-hmm. But for a camas seed, it takes about 5 years for it to bloom.
Wow.
So if we're growing it in the nursery, it's kind of a long time, and you put a lot of work into it. Mm-hmm. And by the nature of that, you start to really care about it a lot.
Yeah.
And this might sound funny. Yeah, you get attached a little. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to see them go out to the restoration site, and you really want to make sure that whoever's taking them is going to do a good job with them. But I guess what it looks like is like an exercise in patience and time and care. Mm-hmm. And I think we're, a lot of times I don't get to see that other end of it, like once it leaves the nursery, because I'm pretty much just in the nursery most of the time. But over the last few years, and part of the Plants for People partnership, we were under an OWEB grant with Institute for Applied mm-hmm. Ecology. Mm-hmm. On the last round of that, we chose a restoration site to be right at the Natural Resources Department. So we've done about 14 acres of the 35-acre property there in restoration. And it's kind of, it is Joseph and I's responsibility to take care of it. So mm-hmm. now we are getting to like see that end more. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually really rewarding to like see the effort we've made out in the field and the plants we've put out there. And mm-hmm. then 2 years later, it's all blooming. And then not only is that like a great feeling, but then we see all the wildlife that we don't normally see at the office showing up. And so for me, I think that's been a really rewarding project and kind of getting to see what that actually looks like full circle.
Now that you say that, thinking about it, I feel like I've only been out to the nursery in the last few years in the winter. I really need to come out in the spring and actually see what the fruits of our labor looks like.
Yeah, we need you out there like in June.
Yeah. Just a quick update. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with Jeremy Oyua and Joseph Hamm about the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde's Native Plant Nursery and the ways they're working to conserve our natural resources. And you're listening to Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. So question for you both, how do tribal members or youth get involved with the nursery or restoration work?
I can think of a program that was started over the last summer, kind of working with the Cultural Resources Department, Greg Archuleta, and mm-hmm. our Social Services Department. And it was really neat to see kind of that trifecta of natural resources and working with the youth. We called it Meet the Thorns. And it was
interesting.
Yeah, it was getting kids out in their own community, tribal youth. And we're really blessed in Grand Ronde. We have a lot of restoration properties that they can walk to, mm-hmm. and maybe they didn't even know it was right next to the housing development. And that's just been a really neat way of getting them out there. And one beautiful thing I was seeing was the ideas forming and a real sense of ownership in the youth that when I look at my own youth, I don't think I had. I think I read about camas in a book when I was a kid. So I always think about that, like,
so different to actually see.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. seeing that life cycle and mm-hmm. Knowing it in their language. And that's just something that won't be severed for the next generations. And I just love seeing that ownership and the youth out there. And it really brings them to our own natural resources program and getting that excitement.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool full circle moment, going from being in the youth program to
and it's different in a lot of good ways.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeremy?
The tribe has a summer youth internship program for tribal youth Grand Ronde community, and they can work in different departments throughout the tribe. And so the nursery program usually hires, well, we started out with one because I didn't know how many kids I could handle and the first year, and then we grew to two, and then last year, or this last summer, we had four,
nice.
Four with us. Is that right? Four, yeah. And so that's one avenue for tribal youth to go through the internship program and apply for the nursery program. And then we have various volunteer events. Usually Shampooey Park is one that we do about four or five times a year at a restoration site where we're hand pulling invasive species out of an area they're restoring for traditional foods. And then we usually do a planting at the end of the year. We advertise that on sometimes the smoke signals newspaper that the tribe puts out, and some of the various Facebook and Instagram, and then also Institute Applied for Applied Ecology advertises that. And really the easiest way is to just email me, and then we put something together is kind of how we operate on a lot of those things. If someone shows interest, we would like to host. So
what's your email, Jeremy?
Oh boy, this sounds so we also are capacities sometimes small for just the two of us. So I'll put my email out there, but give me a week or two if I don't reply. It's Jeremy, Jeremy OJUA at grandrond.org. And Grand Ronde is spelled GRANDRONDE.
Yes. Don't flood his inbox.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you both have a lot going on, but are there any collaborations or restoration projects that you're especially proud of, either, you know, in your backyard in Grand Ronde or with other organizations farther away?
Especially, let's see, we started the nursery in 2014, and then Joseph came on just 2 years ago, so I really value all of the collaborations and partnerships we've had over the years, as there's no way the nursery would exist as it does today without it. So I guess I'm just really have to say I'm proud and grateful for all the hands that have reached out and that have helped us over the years, like Institute for Applied Ecology, OWEB, you guys at Polk SWCD, a lot of the other soil and water conservation districts. We have Joseph because of a Forest Service grant that we're working with Sayus Law on. So
great.
I think I'm just proud of all the people that have come to like be a part of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to just single one out. So I think for a guy that had never grown a plant in his life and used to just fight fire, I'm like proud I still have a job. So thank you, everyone.
How about you, Joseph? Anything that you want to highlight?
Oh, yeah, the same organizations. AmeriCorps, I love when the AmeriCorps kids come out. And OnWalk Farms outside of Turner, they just bring so many great gifts and smiles. And it's just, we definitely just feel like, you know, that's the best thing about restoration work is when you feel like there's good medicine on the land. And you know, I definitely, that's my favorite part is the social part and doing that good work with good people out there on the land. And so that just always fills my cup when those days happen.
Yeah. And we have one of those coming up with you, which I will come back to if you're interested in joining us. So I know you're going to have different perspectives on this, but what have been some of the biggest challenges of managing the nursery, or maybe a few unexpected lessons that you've gained along the way?
I'd say some of the biggest challenges in managing the nursery really are just the maybe a lot more administrative work than I had expected, and trying to find the balance of taking care of the plants, keeping up on the administrative, taking care of the restoration site, running groups of volunteers and stuff. So staying organized and keeping it flowing smooth is a little bit trickier than I thought it would be. But I feel like we've hit our stride over the years.
I think every season you find a new way to keep yourself organized. How about you, Joseph?
I think really like where we get our money from, I think I was on paternity leave for a month, and the day before we came back, it was when all the grant money nationwide and a lot of where our, just being funded that way, and kind of it can be a little uncertainty sometimes, and just learning to, you know, to be present, you know, in the moment, and everything's worked out so far, and like great, having great people and great support. Jeremy is supervisor, and Lindsay having just a great team. And also a big challenge too is learning to be confident in, you know, maybe not seeing myself as a plant person. I look to Jeremy too. Sometimes I feel bad that maybe it's like, hey, you're the plant guy, and kind of getting asked a lot of questions, but realizing, you know, we all kind of have those skills, and that might segue a bit into the next question, but just collectively, like our community, like learning to have that confidence in ourselves, and that we're all kind of learning this together of, you know, that they will die, like Jeremy said, like it's happened to all of us.
Looking ahead, what are your hopes for the nursery in the next few years? What do you want to grow, figuratively or literally?
Well, right now, we have our own building being constructed in the nursery.
Wow.
So we're going to have
cool.
like a dry workspace where we can store more seed processing equipment. So it's, for me, it's capacity, like growing the nursery larger to be able to support more projects. And with that, what I'm really hoping to grow is the team. So hoping that we can maybe find more funding and put more people in place. Maybe someone that's like an admin and volunteer coordinator. Maybe someone that does things like you do. Would be great. And some more help in the nursery for Joseph as well. Some more technicians and assistants would be great. I just would like to continue to see that program grow and be able to provide more jobs for folks in the community doing the same kind of work.
Yeah. That sounds good. Joseph, do you have any hopes for growing the nursery or things that you'd like to see happen there?
Yeah, a lot of it I'm seeing a lot, and that feels really good. I'm just seeing a lot of people getting more comfortable just stopping by and wanting to take plants home, and there's a little less apprehension with that, and it's just really great to see all the different programs at the tribe kind of starting their own little greenhouses and their own gardens. And, you know, I don't want to say like that philosophy work myself out of a job, but you know, like it's just great seeing that everyone is getting those tools and that confidence, and it's spreading, you know, like I've seen that with Jeremy the last 10 years, there's a lot of seeds that have been planted, you know, and people, and just seeing that throughout the years, and they keep coming back to the nursery, and it's great to see.
Joseph, for our listeners at home, what's one way people can support native plants or restoration where they live or the tribe's restoration work?
Yeah, one thing I can think of is how everything is interwoven, and the more that somebody learns about the First Peoples of the Willamette Valley in Western Oregon, it will go hand in hand in learning about native plants and restoration work, and learning if someone takes a visit to our museum or our nursery and can see like, oh, how was the land managed in the past, and then can start applying that. And that's a great way to see just learning history, and it goes hand in hand with what we're trying to do now.
Actually, I think that you were the person that gave us a tour at the museum 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Now that I'm recalling. So for those listening, what's the name of the museum again?
Chichalu Museum. And it means place of the burnt timber in Kalapuyan.
It's an excellent museum. Do go visit. Jeremy and Joseph, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Morgan, and thanks for it's always just good to hang out with you, and always appreciate your friendship and coming out and hanging out in the nursery with everybody.
Oh, agreed. It's been great getting to know you more, Joseph.
Likewise.
Too.
I'm excited for working more in the future.
Yeah. I've been talking with Jeremy and Joseph about the impact of the tribe's nursery, and I'm your host, Morgan Neal, Outreach Coordinator for the Polk Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Conservation Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed our conversation today. Every effort matters, and together we can make a difference in conserving our natural resources. Please be sure to visit our website, polkswcd.com, for resources on how you can contribute to local conservation efforts. And also, sharing this podcast with others is a great way to spread awareness and encourage positive action. If all this talk about native plants has piqued your interest, please check out our bare root sale to snag some native trees and shrubs. We also have a volunteer day scheduled out at the nursery for Friday, January 9th. More info can be found on our website. And if you liked what you heard here on Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month to KMUZ at 88.5 or 100.7 FM, the third Wednesday every month during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening, and keep up the conservation conversation.